Hi, everybody. I'm Brittany Lewis with Forbes Breaking News. Joining me now is Congressman Anthony D'Esposito. Congressman, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you. And how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. A little busy, but doing well.
A little busy because I'm catching you just on the heels of your visit to Columbia University. And this visit comes at a time that's really at a boiling point in the nation. We have seen protests, pro-Palestinian encampments all across universities, all across the country. You were at Columbia yesterday. Can you talk about your experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we're seeing on TV is exactly what's happening. I think the president of Columbia University has displayed, you know, gross negligence while just completely ignoring the safety of the students at the university. I mean, when she testified in front of the Education and Workforce Committee, she actually refused to say if the phrase "from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free" is anti-Semitic. And that really should have been, I guess, the switch that went off for everybody as we watched the recent events unfold as to how Columbia would be handling it. There's more than 100 Columbia professors that signed a letter defending students who support the military action by Hamas, a terrorist organization. So more than 100 of the professors at Columbia University support the military action by Hamas. I mean, this Hamas that raped, pillaged, I mean, we have, you know, audio. I mean, I've seen footage from that day where Hamas terrorists actually called their loved ones and were about the fact that they killed Jews with their bare hands. And we have Columbia professors signing letters defending students who support Hamas. You know, what we've seen over the last few days at Columbia and the fact that the president and the administration, the board of trustees at Columbia has decided that students are not safe enough at the university that they should be learning virtually is absolutely insanity. I mean, I was there yesterday with my colleague from New York, Congressman Mike Lawler, as well as the county executive from Nassau County, Bruce Blakeman, and Sid Rosenberg, who's a radio, has a radio show here in New York. And we wanted to be there because we wanted to express to the Jewish students that there are people that support them. I mean, when you go into Columbia right now in the streets around it, I mean, there are hundreds of pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, pro-Hezbollah supporters. And very often, you know, I was a detective in New York City, and I know that very often, you know, the loudest voices are the ones that seem to be heard the most. And we wanted to make sure that the Jewish students at Columbia know that there are people that support them, that there are elected officials that are actually out there supporting them, working on their behalf and trying to keep them safe. People that are governing, not just on their next tweet that's going to go viral, but actually doing the work that they were elected to do. And that's really why we visited Columbia, so that they knew that there was people supporting them. And I think what we saw there, again, is exactly the issues that we're facing. I mean, thousands of people protesting. And you know, I've spoken to some of my law enforcement colleagues that I used to work with, and we're seeing some of the same protesters. Obviously, they're wearing masks and they're covered up, but when they are arrested, if they are arrested, we've already seen some of those protesters are the same protesters who protested the BLM and during the BLM riots. So, I mean, these are paid professional agitators who, quite frankly, are wearing shirts and headbands. I am Hezbollah, I am Hamas. They are praising terrorist organizations, and it needs to stop.
There have been some accounts saying that the protesters in the encampment are largely peaceful on campus. And then when you get outside of campus, outside of that gate, there's a divide. There's more chaos there, more incendiary language. Was that your experience when you were there?
I think it was a mixture of both. But I think what really the focus is that the students on campus are in fear for their safety. That's the problem here. And that's really what, you know, our message to the president is that, you know, she should resign. She has parents and guardians spend a lot of money to send their kids to Columbia University. I'm pretty confident that none of the parents have decided to send their kids to Columbia so that you know, April of 2024, they'd be studying virtually from home because their Jewish children are too scared and are basically told in an email that your safety, you're not safe here, you should stay home. I mean, that's not what America is about. That's not what we should be aiming towards. And that's why we need to pass legislation. It's one of the things that Congressman Lawler and I discussed yesterday. We have legislation. I co-sponsored a piece of legislation that he has that would call for the defunding of federal resources to universities who are promoting anti-Semitic and hate-filled acts and who are not engaging their students. Listen, there's one protecting your freedom of speech and your constitutional rights. There's another when you're putting people in fear. There's another when you're walking through the streets of New York City with flares and lighting flags on fire. It's an issue, and that's one that we need to face.
The legislation you're referring to is the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act and the Stop Anti-Semitism on College Campuses Act. Do you have Democrats' support for those two?
I believe there are co-sponsors that have signed on from the other side of the aisle. People that that have common sense, that realize that this is what we are facing, unfortunately, across college campuses. And perhaps the only way to really affect change is to have that power of the purse. And I think when you start taking federal resources away from these universities, when you threaten federal aid that students are receiving to go to these universities and these colleges, where they're, you know, it's very clear that they're teaching hate. When you have 100 professors who sign on to a letter defending students who are praising Hamas, that's a real issue.
I spoke with your colleague, Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis, yesterday. She, along with you and other Republicans from New York, signed a letter calling for the president of Columbia to resign. Can you talk about that a little bit? And also, is that enough? Would that change anything at the university?
Well, I would hope. I would hope that starting fresh and having a new president that I believe would be chosen by the board, I would hope that they would see that the times that we're living in and the decisions that the administration at Columbia and other universities across this country have made have led to hate-filled anti-Semitic speech. And again, the fact that you have students on campus that do not feel safe, that were afraid to go to their first Seder last night during Pesach because they were in fear for their safety, that's not what America is about. That's not what our universities, I mean, our educational institutions are grounded in the fact that it should be a safe haven for students, whether it's at a young age or at the university level. And the fact that the president of Columbia University is failing to do that, I think that the what we've seen from her already, again, not being able to even say that a phrase like from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, which is a clear, it is clear when protesters are chanting that, they are calling for the destruction of the state of Israel. They are calling for the elimination of the people of Israel. If you don't see that that is anti-Semitic, then I am not sure how you are the president of quite frankly, what used to be a highly recognized educational institution.
Let's talk about that, because Columbia is one of our nation's most prestigious universities. Jewish students, some of them, don't feel safe on that campus. It's in New York, it's in your state. Are you surprised by any of this?
I wish I could say that I am surprised, but it is what we've seen. You know, recently, you know, dating back to, I guess, the BLM riots and the engagement of students who, quite frankly, I think many of them are paid. I think they are professional agitators, professional protesters, and it has become a breeding ground in our universities. And I think that was, you know, really came to light during those hearings that we had on Capitol Hill with the Education and Workforce Committees, when presidents of colleges and universities were witnesses to talk about this exact situation. And it was clear that some of the presidents who lead some of our finest educational institutions do not have the moral compass to call out anti-Semitic, hate-filled speech when they see it. They have the inability to draw that line between protecting someone's freedom of speech and protecting them you know, protecting their safety. And that's a real issue. And again, we should be in this world, in the United States of America, be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. And the fact that presidents of these educational institutions just can't do that is a serious problem. And that is why it is come to Capitol Hill. That's why there are hearings being conducted, because we have heard from our constituents. I mean, I represent one of the most Jewish districts in the entire United States of America. And these individuals who are upset, they're not conservative Republicans. They're not just Democrats. These are people who just have common sense, who are sick and tired of the hate that is coming from universities, the anti-American agenda that's being bred in and taught in places of college universities across this country.
Congressman, I know that you have a background in law enforcement. Is there evidence that you've seen that some of these demonstrators, that these agitators are professional or paid?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, without getting into too much, there has been, there have been individuals who have been identified that have been protesters in previous demonstrations before, having nothing to do with Israel or Hamas or Palestine or Hezbollah. So it's either they are they feel very strongly about a lot of social issues, or they are paid agitators, right in New York City, that are there to spark hate and to create havoc.
And is there any indication of who's paying them?
Well, I think that that conversation is one that's been going on for a long time now. I think that we see individuals like George Soros, who are hell-bent on creating chaos and havoc and promoting this far-left progressive agenda. So I would assume that it is individuals just like him, or individuals who are connected to his hate.
I am curious what you think about the Biden administration's response in light of the protests. The White House released this statement in part, quote, "While every American has the right to peaceful protest, calls for violence and physical intimidation targeting Jewish students and the Jewish community are blatantly anti-Semitic, unconscionable, and dangerous." What do you think of their response, A, and B, do you think the Biden administration has done enough?
No, the Biden administration has not done enough, and quite frankly, they have been at the forefront of undermining Israel. You know, I mean, we saw a few weeks back where the Senate Majority Leader, the highest ranking Jewish elected official in the country, Chuck Schumer, I mean, called for the removal of Prime Minister Netanyahu just days following the attacks. I mean, or weeks following the attacks. I mean, I compare that to on September 12th, 2001, a foreign leader calling for the removal of the president of the United States. I mean, it's absolutely insane. And when you have the president and the elected leaders from the Democratic side undermining Israel, that is also a trigger to our other adversaries, to China, to Iran, to Russia. So no, I don't think the Biden administration has done the right thing with regards to Israel. And that's not just me and my thoughts. I mean, there have been polls done recently where young voters, new voters, who have historically been, towards the Democratic Party, are pledging that they are going to vote Republican in the November election because they are not happy with the way that Joe Biden handled the conflict in Israel. And I think that what we're seeing is that he knows that it's an election year. He has people that have read polls. He realizes that in places where he does or has done very well, he's completely underwater. His poll numbers are in the dumpster, and that dumpster is about to ignite. And when you have far left progressives like Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar telling their people not to support Joe Biden, and he has issues in places like Minnesota and Michigan, he's making these decisions because he's pandering to the left, because he wants to make sure he can get their vote. That's what this is about. And by doing that, you make this country look weak, and you give our adversaries, again, China, Russia, Iran, you have them looking at America that we are weak, that we don't have strong leadership, and that's a real problem.
Do you think his Israel policy would be different if it wasn't an election year?
Absolutely. I think that what we're seeing again, and in the decisions that he's making, whether he believes in them or not, whether his the decisions that the decisions that he would make in an off-year election, whether he believed them or not, I do believe that his decisions would be different. And right now, what he's doing is pandering to, again, those far-left progressives, because he's afraid he's losing the progressive side of his party. And quite frankly, in places like New York, you're seeing moderate Democrats who are no longer voting Democrat because they feel like they lost their party. I mean, take my home county of Nassau County. Democrats outnumber Republicans by 140,000. Republicans control every countywide office, including the county executive, the district attorney. Republicans control both cities and all three towns, in a county where we're outnumbered by 140,000. And that's because Democrats don't feel like they have their party anymore. And the only way for Democrats to win are to up to their far left and their crazy agenda.
There have been calls for Columbia for tuition reimbursement because classes have moved to virtual learning. Do you support those calls?
Listen, my feeling is that there should be no virtual learning. I think that the students should be on campus. The fact that Columbia is giving in to these hate-filled agitators, to these protesters, they're giving them the win. There's no reason why these Jewish students should feel threatened, shouldn't feel safe on their own campus. And what the president and the administration should be doing is everything in their power to make sure that those students feel safe and continue to carry on with class on campus. That's what this is about. The fact that they're giving up and they're saying, go home because we can't keep it safe. I mean, they're throwing in the white flag because they don't want to get in the middle of an issue between these again, progressives who are praising terrorist organizations and students who just want to learn.
We're seeing these images from the campus protests that, like I said earlier, are happening nationwide. What do you think is missing from the national conversation?
I think what's missing from the national conversation is that this is about a reaction to a terrorist attack on an ally of the United States of America. On October 7th, Israel was attacked, and this has been compared to their worst day in their history since the Holocaust. I mean, again, I've seen raw footage from that day. People decapitated, babies killed, women raped. That's what this response is. And just weeks ago, we saw Iran send missiles into Israel. I mean, the protesters in New York City and around this country that are calling for a ceasefire, what we should be calling for are two things: Hamas surrender, and we should be releasing every single hostage that we have. That's what we should be doing. That's what they should be calling for. The fact that they're calling for a ceasefire with no change in sight, that's not what we should be doing. When we have a terrorist organization, we should be eliminating them. We should be eradicating Hamas from this planet, and that's exactly where I stand. What's missing from the national conversation is that they are praising terrorists. That's what these protesters are doing. When they are wearing shirts, I am Hamas, I am Hezbollah. I mean, I would hope that many of these individuals don't actually know what they're protesting about, because if they did and they knew that they were protesting in favor of terrorists, well, then that's another conversation that we should have, because they should probably be investigated for terrorism themselves.
One last question. When you were on campus, when you were around campus, did you see any of these pro-Palestinian protesters calling for the release of the hostages?
I did not. I mean, in the areas that I were, I did hear people calling for a ceasefire. I heard them chanting from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. I saw the shirts and the bandanas, you know, pro Hamas, pro Hezbollah. But no, could there be? Absolutely. But I did not see any of them.
Congressman, I appreciate the conversation. You're welcome back anytime.
Thanks so much. Have a good one.